Minister here at Emmanuel, and I'm going to be speaking tonight from a small portion of Mark's Gospel. In a minute, I'm going to read a few verses. The main one that we'll be thinking about should be up there on the screen. It's also printed in your orders of service. There should also be a copy of Mark's Gospel on your chairs if you want to take it home and read it later. So I'm going to read from Mark 10, verses 42 to 45. And Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. For whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." I wonder what it would take to ruin Christmas for you. Last year, Christmas was almost ruined for us when I dropped the tray as I pulled our delicious roast goose out of the oven. I just about managed to get the oven gloves on the bird, but the same could not be said for the fat, which proceeded to go all over my trousers, the floor, the oven. We were slipping over for weeks. Worse than that, I read this on the BBC website. I am reminded about my elderly aunt's story about a bad Christmas when she was a small girl. Her father had lost his job and was unable to afford Christmas presents. And when she went into the living room on Christmas morning, not only did she find no presents, but also the family dog had died in front of the fireplace. Her dad told her Father Christmas had done it. Not my story. Christmas ruined. Now, I hope that my talk doesn't ruin Christmas for you. But if it does, it will be Jesus who has done it, not Father Christmas, but Jesus. We're looking tonight really at just one verse, which tells us in Jesus' words what Christmas is all about. And it has the potential to ruin all of our nice ideas. It's from Mark's Gospel, which doesn't actually tell the story of Jesus' birth, but three times Jesus says why he came. And here in chapter 10, he says that he came not to be served, but to serve. Now, the big Christian claim about Christmas is that Jesus is not just another baby, not even a baby who grew up and turned out to be special. This is a visit. This is God visiting earth. He came, God became a human. And this verse tells us why. So my first point for us this evening, first of three, is this. Christmas is a royal visit. Christmas is a royal visit. Now imagine a royal visit here tonight. The Queen, well, she's sort of fundamentally Christmassy anyway, isn't she? So she'd fit right in. But imagine the excitement if she were joining us for our carol service. A royal visit. But that would be nothing compared to if Jesus was the visitor. Royalty has come up several times in our readings and our carols tonight. And we learn something of the royal claims of Jesus. In one of our readings, the angel told Mary this: "The Lord will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Jesus is God's son, and he is the forever King, the Bible tells us, King of an everlasting kingdom. There is no one above him in wisdom or power or status. If he visited us this evening, imagine the length of the motorcade that would accompany him to match his status. Imagine the length of the red carpet you would have to roll out for a visit that involves King Jesus. And this verse, Son of Man, it's a royal title from the Old Testament. It refers to God's chosen king. And our verse tonight tells us that the Son of Man came. Christmas is about a royal visit. And if the Queen were to visit you, if she were to visit, you could probably predict a little bit what it was going to be like, couldn't you? The right things would be said, the right curtsies would be bowed. The whole place would smell like fresh paint. But this verse tells us that his royal visit is unusual. And it has the potential to ruin Christmas for you. So look back at Mark 10:45 and see why Jesus came. It says, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." And that's our second point tonight. This royal visit, the king came to serve. The king came to serve. Many consider our royal family to be devoted public servants. They're patrons and supporters of an awful lot of charities. They meet with and try and encourage all sorts of people in all sorts of places. But whatever you think of the royal family, they have never served in the way that Jesus served. You see, for Jesus, serving meant a humble life, and it meant his terrible death. You see what it says? He came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life. The whole of Mark's gospel, if you read it, has been building up to understanding this. Three times Jesus has predicted that he will die. And as we read this verse tonight, he is only a matter of days away from that coming true. Earlier on in the chapter, you can read it for yourself if you take these copies home. He has been describing in detail what is waiting for him in Jerusalem. He would be mocked. He would be spat upon. He would be flogged. He would be killed. Perhaps then you can see why I thought that Jesus might ruin Christmas for you. It's a shocking image. People have filmed versions of Jesus' life and death lots of times. But you would need quite a budget, wouldn't you? Okay, to capture the start of the story. So Jesus' status as the Son of God before he became a man. That would be quite the opening shot. A wide angle panorama of the throne room in heaven. Jesus perhaps creating a star. But then you cut to a stable in Bethlehem and to poverty. And then you cut again to a cross in Jerusalem and a naked, battered man being nailed to a cross. A royal visit by a person far above any other ruler in history, but a royal visit where the king has come to serve and to give his life. In those other verses I read, Jesus knows that this is a radical thing. So verse 42 describes in a way the world that we all live and work in. It says this, Jesus said this, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them." That's our world. So at school or at university, every qualification, every higher grade, every extra letter after your name says "great one." And at work, every parking space reserved for management or every huge leather chair says, "I lord it over you." But Jesus says, "The Son of Man came to serve." And that sets the example for Christians. Christians should copy Jesus and give up every piece of status. Christians should serve. But before you think about serving like Jesus, before you think about being like Jesus in that way, our verse challenges us to think about whether we will be served by Jesus. Our culture has trouble with this. We don't like the idea of serving, and to be honest, we don't much like the idea of being served either. Servants are not really a thing anymore. We don't live in the Downton Abbey kind of world. But all of us have a servant. We all have someone who has made themselves less than us, who did something for us, and his name is Jesus. Jesus, the Saviour, the Christ, a wonderful counsellor we've read, mighty God, Prince of Peace, King forever, and servant of Gavin, servant of Dennis, servant of Barbara. And that is the wonderful offer of Christmas, but also its central challenge. Will you let Jesus serve you? That is what he came for. Or do you think of his royal servant visit as deeply intrusive? Just leave me to my mulled wine and mince pies. Thank you very much. So imagine the Queen again. She barges into your house unannounced, kicks down the door, shouting at the top of her voice. That would seem intrusive, would it not? But then consider what she's shouting. She is shouting, "Fire, fire, you've got to get out. I've come to save you." Perhaps listening to what she is saying will change how you view the intrusion. So our third and final point. A royal visit to serve, but why? As a ransom for many. As a ransom for many. This is the best news in the world from the lips of Jesus. But it also has the potential to ruin your Christmas. You see, in Mark's gospel, if you take this and read through it, which I encourage you to do, you'll see two very different responses to what Jesus says. There's one group who are deeply grateful for Jesus, and there is another group who see him as an intruder. They don't like his authority, and they don't want his help. I wonder which reaction will be closest to yours as we look at this idea of ransom. Now, ransom itself is a simple enough idea, isn't it? Someone is trapped and can only be freed by the payment of a huge sum of money. Now, normally in the films, there's a battered suitcase full of used 20s that's left by a park bench somewhere, and then there's a tense wait to see if the victim will be set free. But in this case, the ransom doesn't take the form of an old suitcase filled with money, but rather the payment is Jesus' life, which he gave as a ransom for many. His death is the ransom payment. And the people who are trapped, well, Mark's gospel will tell us, if we read it, that that is all of us. And not trapped in a cellar or a cell, but trapped, the Bible says, by our own sin. You see, Jesus speaks these words in Mark 10:45, because two of his closest disciples, his closest friends, had just made an audacious play for power. They want to lord it over the other disciples. And we, when we read this account, we are supposed to see that we are all like them. The reason that the ransom price is needed is this sin, which dominates all of our lives. The desire to lord it over others. And ultimately, we see it as the desire to lord it over God too. To stop him intruding on our lives. To stop Jesus intruding on our lives. I wonder what it would be for you, perhaps a no to interference from God in who you should forgive, perhaps no to interference from God in how much you should drink, or who you sleep with, or what you spend your money on. It doesn't really matter what the thing is. No, God, but out. Well, that lording it over God is the sin that Jesus came as a baby with which to deal. His death is a ransom payment for all of the punishment due for my sin. And it is a striking image, isn't it? That Jesus wants us to hold this next to his arrival on the planet as a baby. I wonder if this ruins our Christmas feelings. Imagine sending a child to make a ransom drop-off. I've got an 18-month-old boy. Imagine him walking the old battered suitcase out onto the disused airfield. But then imagine the shock as the child climbs in the suitcase. He is the ransom payment. Baby Jesus, King Jesus, came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And in Mark, this divides people to very different directions. And perhaps the more I've been speaking, the more of you have decided you don't want this. The royal visit, the royal servant and his ransom death. But I hope you understand Jesus' words. Christmas is about paying a ransom. It is not about mince pies. And I plead with you to take that seriously. Keep this gospel. Read the rest of it. It's full of surprises like this. If you want to know more about this Jesus, you can drop us an email. It should be on your orders of service. Someone would love to meet up with you and talk about it. Or consider coming to our Life Explored course that starts in January. A chance to think about the big things of life and the big claims of Jesus. Others will feel perhaps that this doesn't ruin Christmas, but rather makes Christmas. These people are like the group in Mark who are deeply grateful for Jesus. Just imagine how you would feel if somebody had paid a cash ransom for you. Well, what a thing we read has happened. You are trapped, and the only one who pays the ransom is the King of the universe. The ransom needed is his death, and the King says, I will be your servant. I will do this for you, and you could be free. Accepting Jesus' offer at its most basic is simply turning your life over to this King Jesus and putting your confidence in his death to deal with your sin. You could begin that simply by asking him in prayer. I'd love to talk to anybody who wants to do that. I'd love to talk to you afterwards. And I hope you do. I hope you will. At Christmas, I love the mince pies, the carols, the presents. Actually, I don't like mince pies, but you get the picture. But that stuff is empty when you realize the beautiful truth that Christmas is about King Jesus coming to pay the ransom price to set me free. Not just a baby, but a king. Come to serve, come to die, to set me free. That is the heart of Christmas, which can only truly be ruined if we turn that offer down. I'm going to pray for us. If you agree with what I've said, say amen at the end. If you don't, just listen in. Father God, we do love Christmas. We thank you for it. We thank you particularly for your son who is willing to serve and give up his life so that people like me who want to grab power from you and from others can be set free from our sin, can be saved from the punishment for it. Father, please help me to trust him, to love him. Please help me understand and live out what Christmas is really about. Amen.